call the meeting to order at 5 p.m. And for our meeting tonight, we're going to do this in a little different order, where, as part of our routine agenda, we're going to skip to the educational presentation. And at this point, I'll turn it over to the superintendent. She wants to do any introductions.
Well, we are pleased to have, and Mrs. Carrier and Mrs. Curran here, principal, assistant principal at Powder Mill School. I'll actually turn it over to you, and you can do the introduction for the new digital literacy class that we have this year at Powder Mill School.
So beginning this fall, we started the new digital literacy computer science class, and so we thought at this point it'd be nice to let you guys see some of the work they're doing. So I talked to Dr. Petschke, and he has brought some of his students to show you their digital portfolios.
Well, thank you for having us. My name is Rob Petschke. I teach digital literacy class. I'm very proud to have brought four outstanding students with me tonight. Their work is awesome, and these four are model citizens. They're just, I would be proud to know them when they are adults. They're going to do big things. So I will kind of introduce the idea here. A digital portfolio is intended to demonstrate the learning that kids do over the course of a year. This is the first time that this has been done in Southwick. It's starting to be done across the state because one of the digital literacy standards requires it. The digital literacy computer science standards are about 2 years old. Each sixth grader has created a digital portfolio. It is a great representation of the class. What we've done is we've chosen a few pieces of work from each student, and they will introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about that project. And I should say that what you see today are things that lend themselves to the screen, to a visual representation. We do an awful lot of hands-on work too. And from that hands-on work, we're able to generate data and do things of that nature. So without further ado, Jaylee.
Hello, my name is Jaylee Lopez. Basically, our digital portfolio, we created in PowerPoint, desktop PowerPoint, and we uploaded it to the cloud drive of Office 365 for like access so that we can like work on it at home and we can like show our parents and do things like that. Our digital portfolio shows our like examples of what we do in our digital literacy class, what we have done so far, and we will be uploading throughout the year. It's a good way for us to like work on our projects and like show our things to like our parents and our teachers and basically just everyone, and we'll really work on what we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Maggie?
Hi, my name is Maggie McCarthy. So this up here, it's showing something that, so it's something we made in Word. We created and formatted a table resizing columns and rows. And we had to change size and alignment for the numbers and some of the pictures. And then we used a program to help us create these spiral shapes. And we had to change the radius and set things like the pen position and then the angles and symmetry. And we did a lot with symmetry and reflection. And then we had to use a screen to capture to put the shapes into the table. And then we, like the radius, there's the radius and the pen position up. Those are the numbers below each. And we got to make a lot of really cool things because there were some pretty wacky shapes that we were able to make.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Memphis is just in time.
Sorry.
No problem. I don't know if you made notes of your own. We're on to our logo table.
All right.
A few thoughts.
So this is my logo table. There might be a few logos that you don't recognize and some that you do. Sorry, I came a little ill-prepared.
You're fine.
So, it's obviously a table. This was actually my first attempt at making a table. Really, I have little experience making tables in Excel. I've never really used it before. So we had to do a lot of complicated stretching and getting rid of. And I thought it was very helpful. So we made a graph with the name of the company and the picture. Like I said, there's probably a lot that you recognize, like I'm a...
We recognize them.
I recognize them.
Yeah, thank you.
Especially the Pontiac Firebird.
Nintendo.
But there might be some that you don't recognize. A lot of you probably know Bandai from the making of Sonic. They were partly in charge, but now they make Japanese model kits. I strangely got addicted to those recently, so I put that on there. But a lot of you have no idea what that is. But others, like the Pontiac Firebird, you all know very well. So.
That's good. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
And let's see. So this corporate logo table led into the next project. Jaylees?
As you can see, there's a lot going on. Our personal logos is basically a way to really show like who we are, like our personalities, our interests, our different like styles, and really we get to show who we are. We started by creating our like names and word art. Then we just found a couple images or like logos to represent personalities and like interests, making sure they're copyright free and we don't want any of that. And then we needed to kind of crop and like resize and moved around and like remove the background of all of the images so that they really fit in the places that we want and make it really us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tyler?
Okay. My name's Tyler Stratton. So I created a smart art document. It's a science and engineering practice graphic organizer. I selected a style that I liked. I inserted and formatted text bones. I also resized and formatted the text just the way I like it. And then one of my favorite parts was picking the color scheme. Mm-hmm. I was like, I like green and blue Seahawks and and then my favorite part was this really cool watermark. Like I like the cool design of it, and I just thought it was kind of cool.
It's great. It's very nice.
Thank you.
My name is Britt McLaughlin, and pixel art was one of the first things we did in Microsoft Excel. What we did was we resized columns to make them different sizes up and down to make the squares the way we wanted them. We added fill colors to make the pictures that we wanted on Excel look the colors that they do. And around Christmas time, some of the students got to make Christmas cards.
Thank you. Memphis?
All right. So I'm sure you all recognize this as the Magic Square. Yes? No?
No.
Am I assuming too much?
Yes.
So this was actually...
This way? No, I'm just saying, I was explaining the Magic Square.
Okay. So this was a very complicated thing we did in Excel. So as we were just being introduced into this, I first experienced how to add things together to make it work. It's a complicated thing that includes this square plus this square equals this square. Mm-hmm. So like if we were to type a 4 and a 9 and a 2 here, the answer would come up here. This is kind of an extreme puzzle that you need to get 15 in all columns without reusing any numbers. And it can't go above 9. So it was rather difficult, but we all managed to do it. Another difficult thing was resizing the squares. If you've been in Excel, they're not perfectly square, they're actually very rectangular. So we had to resize that, resize the columns and everything. It was very tedious. And then we added this fill color to make it pop out more.
All right.
Good.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much, Memphis.
Thank you.
Okay. So my other presentation is a bar graph and pie chart. I took real survey results from my class and I resized, formatted the text so it fits in the boxes perfectly. And then I resized the columns and formatted the columns. And I also like use data tables to create the graphs and stuff.
So in this, we made this in Excel, or Dr. Petschke made it, and we used, and all the cells were already formatted to automatically change color if we were within limits, out of limits, because we downloaded the McDonald's nutritional information guide, and we had to make a healthy and a non-healthy meal choice from McDonald's. On the healthy one, you had to make the least you can, and it shows all like the fat calories added up make that much, and because these are green, it shows that we made a healthier choice and that we're within the limits of what we should be doing. This one is less healthy, and it's all red because we should not be eating that. There were some especially unhealthy ones that I saw in my class that were surprisingly unhealthy. I was scared.
Thank you.
I forgot to mention that today's Maggie's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
So what we made here is a hologram viewer. What we did was we used templates of construction, and we constructed a four-sided hologram viewer that if you go online and search hologram videos and you place this over the center of the video, all the four pictures circling around in a circle will reflect off the plastic and come into the middle and make what you see here. The hologram results from the refraction of the light as four images join into one in the center of the viewer. The viewer is placed on a screen while playing videos made for that purpose. And it was it was one of my favorite projects that we did.
Thanks, Bert. Thank you. This was the first time I've taught this. Future classes are going to make the videos too. And it'll only take a minute.
Do you want to shut the light?
But I would like to give you a quick demonstration of how it works. So the kids made them for their phones, so they were a small size. This is a larger one that I'll set up here for everyone to see. It works best from directly from the sides. So.
Parents, if you want to come up and look and see,
yeah.
It's really, it's cool. It's cool.
Oh, wow.
So if you look from the side, you'll see a hologram inside the viewer.
Look at that thing.
And this is it. This is how holograms are generated. Very often, they're projected from four separate angles.
A hummingbird.
In this case, it's simply having four very similar images. They're the same image, but they're all facing inward from different angles. And the image simply gets bent as it hits the glass. They all converge in the middle. And our brains put the four together as something real, something three-dimensional.
We just happened to go in, and what was the video that you showed them to grab their attention at the beginning? You showed a clip from, is it Star Wars?
Yes.
Yes, what was, who was it?
It was when R2 first comes to Luke and is projecting a hologram of Leia saying,
yes.
Please help, Obi-Wan, please help
yeah.
me, you're my only hope. Exactly, yeah. yeah.
So it was a great grabber to get the kids' attention to what they were doing for the day.
So, thank you all very much.
Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much for coming.
They did it. They went home. Their parents drove them to places to go get the plexiglass. And they
yes.
went home to places. And
that's
they went home and they did it on their half day.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Get to work.
Exactly. Looks like they're having too much fun.
Thank you, everybody, for coming, and great job with your digital portfolios. Amazing work.
Thank you,
amazing.
Again,
you're welcome. Thank you all.
All right, we're going to return to the routine part of the agenda. I'm sure we've already taken attendance by our secretary.
Yes.
We're going to dispense with the opening ceremony since we've really already started. Secretary's report, really the minutes of the March 5th meeting, that's included in your packet, like a motion to accept the minutes as read.
So move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion or changes that anybody could suggest? If not, all those in favor of accepting the March 5th minutes? And it looks like six. All those opposed? Seeing none. Any abstentions? 600. And we'll move on to the public comment. For our first public comment of the night, please, if you have anything that you would like to add, please give us your address and community that you're located in. Seeing none. Looks like we're moving on. Student advisory report. I don't think we have any student reps here tonight, so we'll continue moving on. just a reminder, the warrants are here and they're circulating, so please make sure that you sign them before you leave tonight. And we'll move on to the policies. Policy subcommittee met this afternoon. Sounds like Amy and Chelsea are doing the most of the work there. Would you guys like to comment on any of these? I think we're going to postpone some of them.
This is the passing
I would say
around.
We were a bit aggressive in hoping that we would have four for first readings tonight. So there's still some changes being made to three, but the IJND access to digital resources is basically a directly pulled from MASC, and we do not have a policy currently for this.
Okay.
This would be filling a gap in policy for that. So first reading there, I would anticipate on the other three in the next month or so, we'll have first readings for you guys.
Okay.
But with regard to social networking and tobacco use, we will be moving forward with putting some verbiage in the student handbook related to that with policies to align there afterwards.
Great. Well, thank you for both of you for all your hard work.
Thank you. Definitely not me.
Well, there's
teamwork.
There's a lot of work that goes into these policies that are sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. And now I think we know why things have backed up over the years.
It's a lot of work.
So we appreciate you taking the time, both of you, to do that.
Welcome.
All right. So you've got a copy of the IJND, which this is the first reading tonight, so obviously you can take a look at it at your own time, and we'll be bringing that up at later points along with others to actually take a look at. So hopefully you'll have some questions down the road, but for right now we'll continue to move on if there's no objections. Go to the action items. Superintendent, if you'd like to.
I move to approve the grade 6 out-of-state field trip for the 2018-2019 school year recommended.
So move. We have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussions on that trip? Seeing none, all in favor? Looks like it's 6-0-0. All right, then we'll move on to the reports. Superintendent.
I just have one quick thing, just from mass.gov, just to let you know that regarding a proposed amendment, the notice of public hearing regarding a proposed amendment to 454 CMR 25.0, it's just that schools now have to follow the same OSHA level safety health standards as public workplaces had to. And there's just a little labor brief in here for you to look at. But from the Department of Labor, it's just that schools now have to follow the same OSHA regulations.
And is there anything in here that we're not already doing?
No, and I talked to Steve, and I keep getting these OSHA things because whenever something changes in the state, you know,
right.
These webinars, and Eric Wykander, our director or supervisor of Building and Grounds, is very OSHA conscious because he was in a nursing home, so he's aware of them. And
there's a few different wrinkles in the way OSHA expects you to handle certain things, so Eric's been... he's really our point person on that. He and I attended a seminar that the state put on last summer, and his professional organization has been doing a lot working with Department of Labor standards to make sure that municipalities, school districts are doing all the things that they need to stay compliant under the OSHA standards. So just thought it's something you should be aware of, that they're playing by a different set of rules now, instead of the state having its own set of standards for workplace safety. They've decided to adopt the, or in the process of formally adopting the OSHA standards.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Our Director of Finance and Operations.
Yeah, nothing. Just I was going to mention the OSHA stuff as well.
So. This could be setting a record here.
Going, George.
All right. Now we go to subcommittees and liaisons. Negotiations. I know they have a meeting tomorrow.
We're meeting tomorrow for the first time with the teachers tomorrow.
Okay.
Anything else from negotiations? Okay. Now we move to finance. Any comments there?
We haven't met since before the budget hearing. I have on my calendar a standing meeting for this Thursday. I don't know if that's...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Is it 9?
I have 9:15.
And in your packets is a Powers and Sullivan thing, mm-hmm. just for the FinCom group. That's kind of a sneak peek for... you're going to review that. If
yeah, that's really just base. The, I think that's the...
preliminary report.
On the end-of-year report, their audit on our filing of the end-of-year report. So there's not much there.
It's all good
it's
news.
Actually, yeah, it's actually the best one we've ever, ever had. So.
Oh, that's great.
And I have to leave at 10, so I don't know if we want to get started right at 9.
We could do that.
Okay.
Okay. We can do that. Let's see, go to LPVEC. The Board of Governors meets tomorrow night, so they had been snowed out before, so we'll have, I don't know what's going on there, but we'll have a meeting. I'm not sure about the Board of Directors with Jeff.
Thursday,
something you might want to think about down the road, as you know, we're going to be having some changes in membership on the committee. The way the collaborative is set up is in its bylaws, the seven-member towns have to have two different people on each of those boards. If they were to somebody were to be absent for a number of visits, it basically puts our committee in jeopardy in terms of representation votes on the committee if you miss too many. So at some point, Jeff's going to have to reorganize to do that.
Frequently, now you're on the governor's
that
board,
meets,
how frequently
that means
does that
once
mean?
A month. It's usually the Wednesday following our second meeting. And it's usually like a 6 or 6:30 meeting.
So it's an evening meeting.
And it's an evening meeting. It's over in West Springfield on Brush Hill, yeah. Which is an interesting place to visit. Jeff's committee doesn't meet as often, but it usually meets just prior to ours. It's a little bit earlier.
And what's the difference in terms of like what those two bodies do, directors versus governors?
Well, Jeff's, in terms of the board of directors, seems like it's more specifically towards the, if you will, the educational programs that go on over there.
Okay.
Where the Board of Governors seems to represent the whole, if you will, corporation, which could include both the educational setup, but also includes like their bus company.
Right.
And the overall financial.
Because they do so much more than just education.
Correct.
Okay.
So we'll be finding out more of that, and I'm sure he'll be, just wanted to mention that because I know at some point he's going to be requesting volunteers, but definitely the Board of Governors meets more often, it might be something some people would find interesting. All right, policy, we just met today, and we're working on it. I don't know if Amy, you want to comment about anything?
I do just want to say what a great job the regional school's doing on the tobacco use policy and vaping in particular. Mm. We're coming up with a policy to, you know, further enforce the not using it. But in addition to that, there's a program that's going to be rolled out to an intervention and support program to help with cessation, and that's the big thing, educating the kids, the parents, the community. So more to come there, and then we're making some additional updates on computer and acceptable use, so probably by next month we'll have first readings for those.
Great. Thank you, both of you.
So when you say it's getting rolled out, it's in the school during the school day, or is it something like after?
It'll be in the coming months that the program will be rolled out. We can't enforce it until the policy's in place, but the work's being done to establish a cessation program to support kids who are vaping.
People. Okay, sorry.
So got kind it. Of part of the consequences when one is caught, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the health program, do we have a correlating piece that would happen before this?
I'm sure it's in one of the standards. I don't know the health curriculum off the top of my head, but I would imagine
it speaks
that
to vaping.
Tobacco use and vaping and e-cigarettes are covered. Mm-hmm. I could not tell you where. I could look in the state standards and find it for you.
The educational part of it, I think, is important. Because
very much so.
God knows. Well, thank you again. Let's see. Then we move on to buildings and grounds. Mr. Locke, you want to comment on anything?
There's nothing. Yeah.
Nothing going on there.
Right.
Transportation, where are you at with that?
Transportation, we met and still working on the daycare transportation policy, cell phone use on buses, so that will parallel path with policy.
Mm-hmm. Great. ILT?
We have not met since our last meeting, and so I updated you guys on that in our last meeting.
Okay.
Nothing on wellness either.
Nothing there. How about the SPED liaison? Is there anything there?
Nor technology. Well,
okay.
You kind of saw technology today.
Okay. Selfwood Capital Committee, Chelsea, you're involved with that. Have they met at all recently?
Yeah, it's over now, I think. I went, it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Got to hear the proposals for different purchases in the town, nothing related to school.
Right.
So
it's basically their priorities
and
capital.
To give my 2 cents, I guess.
I see. Okay. And last but not least, the legislation liaison. Well, I guess we'd be rotating that as we go through. Well, thank you to all the people who work hard on the subcommittees. I know it's a time commitment, that's for sure. All right, going to the other side. Second public comment. Do we have any anybody that would like to comment? Seeing none, we'll continue on. Committee discussion, do we have any old business? Seeing none.
I have two things. Yep. With regards to the student participation on the school committee, I know we've talked about it before, but what is the vehicle at which to define those roles and responsibilities and to set expectations? Is that via a subcommittee? Is that something, like, how do we all agree on what those roles and responsibilities and expectations are?
And then how that gets communicated in.
Yeah, I think Jeff has mentioned that he would like to see the students have a much greater role where they stay for the meeting and they participate in the discussions. I think that's the direction we're going to be going in next year. It will be, we don't know exactly how to go about doing it, but it should be something that, right now I think it's just the president of the,
I don't know if it's by some title that they hold, and then they automatically become
the student advisors. We're looking at a different model for next year.
That's already the kid who might already be overextended.
Exactly, which is why they have sports commitments and they can't be here. So we're looking.
So we don't, as a committee, have to do anything.
No, we're looking at it. No.
I think we just need to communicate to Mr. Turmel what we're looking for.
So communicate to me what you're looking for,
okay.
And then I can communicate it to Mr. Turmel what you're looking for.
Okay.
Because I agree.
And I do think that it should be like a separate application process, maybe interview process, and be made clear that, you know, we're looking for more input.
Somebody who might want to go into politics
someday,
or somebody who's interested in local
government.
Civic-minded. Somebody who's opinionated.
Yeah. Right.
Mr. Turmel, I mentioned to Mr. Turmel that the committee talked about, like, maybe, like you just mentioned, an interview process, and Mr. Turmel made a very good point that the school committee, the student representatives, the way he understood it, they were supposed to be elected officials from the student body, as opposed to somebody that the committee selects.
We
should, if you have like specific like obligations or criteria, we want to outline a little bit more for them, the type of participation you want them to have, and then I think Joe can put that for it. Yeah, Joe said that might be a separate office that they run for.
Makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah. I like that actually.
Can we have an agreed upon roles and responsibilities that the students would be provided with prior to running for that role so that they would understand?
Yes, definitely. That's important.
Yes.
Okay, so this will be in writing. We'll review it, agree upon it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Many years ago, when I first joined the committee, for the first 2 years, we had three representatives that would show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it boils down to the type of student, you know, and for those 2 years, those three representatives came to every meeting, and did, you know, we made sure it was inclusive. You know, they actually were part of the debates and everything else, and not decision making, because they don't have that power, but they were involved in discussions and everything else. It wasn't really, they gave their little presentation as far as what was going on, you know, that month or whatever. But when we got into even financial stuff, we were getting questions and not necessarily feedback, but it was more inclusive.
Right.
It was their personalities that drove that. It's something we can't give. We can encourage, but we can't get, you can't make them, you know. And after that, when those three left, you know, it sort of stopped.
Right.
And I always missed it after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're all saying the same thing.
They were more aggressive.
There's also training that masks. Well, there's like kids that go to the same
Oh no, they go. They
training too.
Some of the other students They go to the conferences.
Is it their separate one for
it's the yeah. same day, but then they split up from the group.
Is there like a politics?
Yeah.
What is the name of? I'm just jotting down ideas right now in yeah. terms of what we're looking for.
I think MASC may be a resource for because yeah, I yeah. know they have MASC, like a student you know, day at MASC, yeah. and they might. Can check and see if they have some resources for
yep, exactly.
students, also, especially roles yeah. and responsibilities.
Yep. They also, at the state level, there's a student congress and things of that nature that these kids can get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think our students are more involved in sports, and that takes them away from that. So there are a lot of conflicting, you know, things that's sort of.
That's what you're up against, yeah. Instead of it being a de facto type situation where because of
position.
Whatever the student's yeah. role mm-hmm. is in some organization that they have to come here and
right.
you know participate, it's something that they want to do and right. and run for and
right.
get elected from
yep.
their peers.
Right.
They may have an interest in political science or local mm-hmm. government or policy mm-hmm. and things like that.
But at MSAC, they have
add a lot to. To the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
They pull the students in, and also on our side, we've stopped going to, let's say, Day on the Hill. And if we sent, you know, that's another place where you'll see students come in,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they become part of the.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been to Day on the Hill for ages because I just can't stand driving into Boston.
Well, maybe that'd be good to get kids involved in it because.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. How about new business?
I have two questions.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
Oh, sorry. No, this is new. On the on the policies, with regards to going to one-to-one with the digital or devices,
mm-hmm.
is this the one, like, are we blocking some websites and all that sort of
yes.
stuff? Like, how does that all happen?
That's our firewall, and it's very detailed, and John can come in and explain it, but there are things that kids... Like if you go on any of our school websites, something will come up and block you from going on it.
Even if you're at home.
Home usage,
when that occurs, we need to make an investment in some additional firewall stuff that would get installed
okay.
on the local on mm-hmm. the local device. So if the student's using our device
at
through
home.
Their home network,
yeah.
the device would have a firewall
okay.
Content filtering application that would stop it from being used to access inappropriate
right.
images,
mm-hmm.
language, material. That's something we have been having a discussion around, Mr. Taglieri, Mr. Grimaldi, and
okay.
myself. We haven't identified the specific application we're going to use, but it is something that we recognize we have to do, and that's in the planning process
okay.
right
but
now.
But that doesn't have anything to do with policy. That's separate, yes?
Yes.
Well, other than, I think... Some of these policies around digital
right.
Access require us to provide these this
it's
content
empowered
filtering.
Empowered digital use.
Right here. It's the Children's Internet Protection Act and
yep.
the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. We have to follow those. Which
yep.
That's why we have our firewalls and that sort of thing
okay.
here at school.
Okay.
Now, are we considering... allowing school devices to go home
we're not
with
there
students?
Yet. Not yet.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
There's going to be an addition to the handbook that will include a process in which you know, the student and parent needs to sign a document which shows that they're, you know, have to be responsible for electronic devices and whatnot. So that's one of the updates that's going to be made to the handbook.
But then there's going to be a whole lot of monitoring that is required that needs to go into.
Yeah, we're not at a point yet where our computers are leaving the school.
Okay.
When we do, then there'll be another presentation on that with the financial implications of that,
mm-hmm.
With the firewall questions
mm-hmm.
and all that. We're just simply getting one-to-one devices in the hands
in
of our students here
yeah.
for
physically
our day-to-day.
Here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I was just trying to get at with the vaping thing, if we're going, if there's going to be a consequence with education at the time of the violation, just making sure that that's the second time that they've heard it and not the first time.
Right.
Right. So that's why we need to get agreement on policy first and then roll out the program. But it's being, the program's being...
And it goes right into the handbook, the consequences of vaping on school. That's one of the things that will be coming. We did all this in policy sub today. So it's in one of our forms, IJ.
But what Jess is getting at is what's in the curriculum,
right.
And that this needs to be addressed if it's not already
done. Yeah, so that's all I was trying to get at with that, is all the education in that cessation program, that'll be the second time the kids have heard that same content.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the first time they're hearing.
Right, by the end of eighth grade, describe addictions to alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs and methods for intervention, treatment, and cessation.
By
the end of eighth.
Okay.
And then by the end of fifth grade, describe how tobacco and prolonged exposure to cigarette smoke affects the body. So it's there.
Okay. I'd really like to see vaping being added in at the fifth and sixth grade level as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's currently limited to cigarettes and like what we remember in terms of the lungs and what they look like before and after. And the kids are getting exposed to that. But at the fifth and sixth grade level, they should be aware that
it's in here.
Sure,
yeah.
You know,
10.3. Describe how tobacco and prolonged exposure to cigarette smoke affects the body by the end of grade 5, which would include the vaping.
Okay, and we've actually
done. They're 1999 standards.
Right.
The state hasn't updated them.
There's a lot of work.
And I know that teachers of that grade level, fifth and sixth, may be reluctant to add the vaping component into it, but I feel that component is necessary.
Too. That's where we need to start at 9th and 8th grade.
Right.
I can tell you that right now.
Right, because it's misconstrued in the media and many adults, view it as a healthy alternative. And
yeah,
it's
not.
It's not.
What were we talking before? The amount of nicotine.
Exactly.
In a pod is 200 cigarettes.
It's and it's direct delivery.
One vaping pod is 200 cigarettes, and there's 20 cigarettes per pack, so that's 10 packs.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay. Sorry, I'm done now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Any last comments from anybody?
That's a good question.
If not, we don't have a need for executive session this evening, so... with that, I would take a motion to adjourn regular session.
So move.
Second. All those in favor of adjourning? Looks like 6-0-0.
Well done, Mr. LeBron.
Right.
Another